anytime you get down here, you have to be alert for Justin Fields' legs. They can be lethal in the red zone.
Trent Taylor in motion. There is Fields in his legs. Dances outside. Stretches. Touchdown, Justin Fields.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. And now back to Jim Swanson, Zach Ziegman on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Today was the kind of day where when you watch Justin Fields, you don't want to think about anyone else playing the quarterback position for the Bears. It was that impressive. Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. Welcome to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. Alongside Jim Schwantz, I'm Zach Zaidman, in for Molly Olin and Manley on this football Sunday. As big of a football Sunday as the Bears have had in a while. Two victories today. One on the field, one off. The victory on the field, a blowout win over the Atlanta Falcons at Soldier Field, 37-17, as the Bears improved to 7-9 on the season. The victory off the field, one that we'll be talking about throughout the entire offseason, as the Bears officially secure the number one overall pick for the 2024 NFL draft by virtue of Carolina losing to Jacksonville today. On the field, Justin Fields, 20 of 32 passing, 268 yards and one touchdown. On the ground, several vintage Justin Fields scrambles, 11 carries, 45 yards, one touchdown. Khalil Herbert, monster game on the ground with 124 yards. DJ Moore looking as good as any receiver in the NFL with 9 catches for 159 yards. And the defense was lights out, 4 picks. Stevenson had 2, Edwards and Gordon each with 1. So a lot to like about the Bears' performance. And yeah, if you can quibble, you can say, well, it's the Falcons, they stink and whatnot. The bottom line is, when you take on a team like that, you want to look the way the Bears look today every aspect of football.
Yeah, this wasn't a field goal at the end that squeak out a victory against a team that does not travel very well, has really struggled on the road, and has a very unsettled quarterback position. They've got some skill players that are really good, but at the end of the day, this is a team that's probably going to be looking for a new head coach next year and is still, as I said, unsettled at the quarterback position. But you mentioned it, Zach, the big story of the day is, you know, Christmas was a week ago. It might as well have been today because the Bears getting the victory and looking the way they did, just bullying the Falcons, really wearing them down. That's where you saw the Khalil Herbert big run at the end. Falcons had enough. I mean, it's a physical sport. This is a sport where you physically move people from point A to point B against their will, and you get them to quit. And that's what was able. That was what happened today. And that's the recipe for the Chicago Bears. That's how they want to win football games.
There haven't been many games like today in the Matt Eberflus era, where from start to finish, there was no doubt as to who the best team on the field was.
Yeah, there was a couple times during the game where you're like, oh, wait a minute, it's two touchdowns. If the Falcons have the ball, here we go. The Bears, then, you know, their defense was out there, their stoppers, if you will. They got the job done. They got the offense back on the field. Offense played complimentary football, kicking field goals, you know, making it 3-score games. Those are the little things that kind of piles on a team. And the Falcons, you know, it's at some point there's just the mountain's too high to climb, and the game is out of reach.
So what do? You have the number one overall pick. If you keep that pick, you're taking a quarterback. I mean, that's the reality of life in the NFL today. And do you believe that the guy you saw today playing quarterback for the Bears is good enough to eventually be able to do what you saw today on a consistent basis, which has not been the case? But if he's able to do that on a consistent basis, there's no debate at the quarterback position. Or do you forget about what transpired against Denver and forget about what transpired in Detroit and forget about how things unfolded in Cleveland, because that's the same guy too. You know, the guy that's been unable to finish in the fourth quarter is also the guy who's the Bears quarterback. So these are some of the decisions that Ryan Poles has to make this offseason, and you got to pull yourself away from the emotions of a game like this or one of those games and just say, when all is said and done, what gives us the best chance for sustained success? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Out to the phones we go. Let's say hi to Walter. Hi, Walter. You're on The Score, talking Bears with Zach Zaidman and Jim Schwantz.
How you do, gentlemen? First, I wish you a early Happy New Year. And what I'd like to say is this. The way Justin Fields played today, I think that the team on the other side, Atlanta, probably wish they had him. And I think they would probably give us two first rounds for Justin Fields, or maybe a first and second. Other than that, you know, you say the Bears should, you know, the first, they got the first pick. I don't like the guy from USC. He just don't impress me. I think there's better quarterbacks out there than the man from USC. I just want to hear what your opinion is.
Yeah, there was a couple people that were on Twitter and in social media talking about that Justin Fields was more on display for Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, but then he was the Chicago Bears. I don't know about that. I think he's certainly a Chicago Bear. He's going to be a Chicago Bear next year unless something changes. But you know, certainly there's the kid from USC, Caleb Williams. You were saying earlier, Zach, it's generational talent when you put him on tape. Whether or not you like what he has to say off the field or what he's done, you know, in the social media world, separate that stuff away from what he can do on the field. And I think there's a reason why he won the Heisman Trophy a year ago and why he is going to be a number one or number two pick going next year.
And there's, again, a lot of work to do on these guys in terms of their makeup, the off-the-field stuff, and all of the quarterbacks in the 2024 draft class will be put under the microscope.
And it's not just quarterbacks. Yes. Remember last year, the defensive tackle for the Eagles now, Jalen Carter. Yep. He was a guy the Bears passed on because of the reasons off the football field.
Mm-hmm. So, again, there's still a lot of work to do, but I think you have to consider whether or not one of these guys is better at the quarterback position than what you've watched. And what you watched today against the Atlanta Falcons was phenomenal quarterback play from Justin Fields. After the phones we go. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Jack in California, you are on the Score. Hi, Jack.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'd like to talk about how we should keep Justin Fields, because I don't think we should rebuild after all the rebuilding that we've already done.
Thanks for the call, Jack. I don't think if the Bears take a quarterback number one overall, you're looking to rebuild.
No.
There's some confusion there. I think what you're looking to do is restart the rookie quarterback clock, but you're only taking a quarterback number one overall if you believe that's a significant upgrade over what you have at the quarterback position right now.
Absolutely. And I think that's the X factor here, is that you have to kind of play into this thing and bake into this, is that restarting of the rookie clock. That is the thing that is driving this thing more than it is. Again, you'd mentioned this. If the Bears have 10 wins right now, those games that you mentioned that flipped, the Denver game, the Detroit game, the Cleveland game, the Bears are 10 wins right now, we probably aren't having this conversation. We're talking about the number one pick, trading down, getting a bunch of picks, and filling a bunch of holes. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the Bears did not win those games, and Justin was a part of losing those games, the turnovers in the fourth quarter and such, that's the reason we're having this debate. And again, the young talent is there. The nucleus seems to be there right now. So this is not a tear down and a rebuild. This is a team that had 3 wins last year, the worst team in football. And they have 7 wins now, potentially getting a chance to get to that 8th win next week. And that's a huge step in the right direction, a huge step. It's just that position. This is a quarterback-driven league, and you need to get the quarterback right. And if you think you have that guy, then you build around him. If you don't think he's that guy, you want to restart the clock, keep that low rookie salary at the quarterback position, and build around him like what you're seeing, what's happening out in San Francisco now with the luxury of a quarterback who's only making $800,000. There you go.
Daniel Jones closed out last season with a flurry, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Almost similar to the way you could say Justin Fields has played since coming back from the injury. And they picked up the option and signed him to a long-term deal. Doesn't look good right now.
No.
I think you only sign someone to a long-term deal if you believe that that person truly is special at the position. Not some special traits some of the time, but special all the time. Because it's really hard to consistently win once you pay your quarterback if that quarterback isn't special. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. John on the north side. You are on the score with Jim Schwantz and Zach Zaidman.
Hey, Zach. Listen, you made a couple of points which I want to lead into. Number one, emotional and today performance against a mediocre team. Let him do it against Cleveland. What about Vikings? What if we played in playoffs against San Francisco and Philadelphia? He would fall apart. I think he's a good quarterback to lead us to playoffs, but then he would fall apart under pressure, and the game is on another level. So I definitely think we should draft a quarterback in generational talent is worth the wait. And like you said, another point, CJ Stroud, they draft a quarterback like that, put him in a team like this, the defense that improved like this, and the offensive line and a running back, he's going to fit in really good. So it's not going to take years to develop. And that's why I think, no question about it, they got to draft a quarterback. No question about it in my mind.
Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it. You know, I think we've gotten this narrative here in Chicago because so many bad quarterbacks have been drafted.
Right.
You have to sit there and you have to be patient and it takes a little bit of time to develop and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? We've seen many cases recently in the NFL where almost as soon as a guy is able to see the field, if he's special, it comes across. And sometimes a quarterback may have to sit a year like Patrick Mahomes did because Alex Smith was ahead of him. Sometimes there's some weird thing that happens, like Tyrod Taylor when he was with the Chargers. The doctor accidentally pierced his lung with a shot prior to the game, and Justin Herbert had no idea he was going to play, gets the call, and hasn't given up the job since.
Wally Pitt.
It happens.
Yeah, it does. And what are we, a handful of calls now, and it's like 50-50. And it's going to be this way. It's going to be this way from now until before the draft, through free agency, and into the draft. This is why the NFL is king. We are already talking about the draft in Chicago. And we will be talking about the draft until the draft is over. And then we'll be talking about the draft picks until the next season starts. And that's why this is, again, $163 billion industry, because it's all-encompassing.
You know what else is interesting to me is a big topic of conversation for most of this season was who should be the next head coach of the Bears.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And they need a new offensive coordinator, all that kind of stuff. People aren't saying that anymore about Matt Eberflus. It's almost as though, just based on the way the defense has played and this hot streak down the stretch that the Bears have displayed, that's enough where you're comfortable with Eberflus?
Yeah, I think so. I think what he's done on the defensive side, I think, gives you enough to know that this is a guy that's got a really good NFL head on his shoulders. And that's why Ryan Poles hired him. He knew him from his days in Indianapolis, and they had a history, an understanding, a philosophical kind of coming together, as it were. But, you know, he's made mistakes as a head coach, you know, not kicking field goals early in the season. Today, it didn't play out, but kicking that field goal before halftime and giving the Falcons a chance to return that, the guy gets tripped up by his own guy. I mean, that's the only thing that could go wrong for the Bears, catastrophically wrong, is that you take that out of play. You're a team that's kind of shown your dominance through the first half, and the first half on a good note. You start with the football in the second half, and let's go to work. You think about it. The only big play was the screen pass. Jalen Johnson slipped on that play. Otherwise, this is almost a flawless game defensively with what the Bears were able to get done today. Turning the football over, getting pressure on the quarterback, stopping the run. It's enough that the resume has been built strong enough that he appears to be the guy going forward.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Bears beat the Falcons 37-17. Justin Fields, 268 yards passing and a touchdown, and 45 yards running on 11 carries with a touchdown. Down. Khalil Herbert ran for 124 yards. DJ Moore, 9 catches, 159 yards, and 4 picks for the Bears defense. And they also secured the number one overall pick in the 2024 draft. To the phones we go. Let's say hi to Steven in Kansas City. Hi, Steven. You're on the score.
Well, happy new year to you guys. Thanks for taking my call throughout the year. I know there was an information leaked out by Ian Rappaport about Eberflus coming back for next year, and that kind of got backtracked a little bit because obviously there's still two games left. And what I saw today, at least compared to last week, was a dominant performance by both offense and defense. And I'm very, very happy. I don't think anybody who's not happy about the Bears winning because they don't want to see Eberflus return or the lower draft picks and stuff, then, you know, then they're not a real fan, to be honest. But a couple of things that really bothered me today was the end of the first half sequence where, you know, Santos missed the field goal and the Falcons returned it almost for a touchdown. I think a lot of people got a heart attack on that one. I just don't understand Luke Getsy's mindset and you know, going for the, you know, kill shot or going more aggressive. So at some point, you know, maybe Luke Getsy has to be held more accountable, and I'm pretty sure Eberflus is already plotting to move on from him. And second of all,
hold on, Steven, thank you for the call. Hold on a minute. You can't blame Luke Getsy every time Justin Fields has a bad game and then ignore Luke Getsy's contributions every time Justin Fields has a game like today. You can't. That's not fair. It's not an accident. Like, the two go hand in hand.
Yeah, and I'd have to look back to see what the sequence of plays was leading up to that attempted field goal at the end of the first half, as far as his aggressiveness and going after it there. But yeah, you know, the subtle little move today early in the game, putting DJ Moore in the slot, paid huge dividends. It paid huge dividends throughout the game. And then you got all of a sudden you've got Atlanta having to take a corner, their number one cover corner, and put him in the slot. And I've worked with enough corners to know guys, they do not like outside corners. Do not like going in the slot. They don't like it. They don't like the fact that they don't have the boundary as a buffer on the outside of them. They have to cover 53 yards worth of field. They do not like going into the slot. So what did they do? They forced Atlanta's hand early in the game. It was a touchdown to DJ Moore against Bates in the corner, which was on a really good two-way route against a safety, receiver safety. I'll take that every time. And then later in the game, they put their number one corner in the slot, and he had no idea what he was doing in there. He just didn't. I wasn't comfortable in there. That was all Luke Getsy. Luke Getsy designed plays today to get DJ Moore in great positions, and he ends up with 9 receptions and a touchdown.
You heard the TV announcers talking about it. I think it was Ross Tucker at one point going, "How in the world is DJ Moore that open?"
Yeah,
right?
A couple times.
When everyone, you know, in every meeting that the Falcons had leading up to this game, they're circling number 2, like, you cannot let this guy beat you, and yet he did consistently. Luke Getsy had a lot to do with creating the opportunities for both Justin Fields and DJ Moore today. Bears win, and they win big. 37-17 on the field over Atlanta, and they win and win big off the field, securing the number 1 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. You heard it. The Bears are officially on the clock. Zach Zaidman, Jim Schwantz, your phone calls at 312-644-6767. The Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
4th and 17, Heineke with the blip spins away, throws across the body. It's intercepted by Kyler Gordon. Second pick of the year for the second-year guy out of Washington.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. And now back to Jim Swanson, Zach Zaidman on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Kyler Gordon with one of 4 Bears interceptions today as they crush the Atlanta Falcons 37-17. Who's Hot and Cold is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. The Bears defense continues to impress. Over the last 5 games, red hot, a +9 turnover differential, in large part because of the types of things we saw the Bears do today. You know, Jim, when I think about who's cold, I don't think there was a cold Bear on this Sunday against Atlanta.
No, maybe just because of the temperature, maybe on the sideline, but they got heaters. So I thought you were going to come in with the Spider-Man music, like the theme music from the old Spider-Man show in the 70s I used to watch when I was a kid. But that was impressive. The front flip he did was just
amazing.
I mean, when the television announcers go, he's going to get drug tested tomorrow. That tells you all you need to know about how athletic that play was. CeeDee Lamb got drug tested today following his performance last night. So the league pays attention to these and everybody in the league is a freak of nature as it pertains to athletic ability. But that was awesome. That was awesome today. It's been awesome as to see just the turnaround. You know, this is a team, you know, that was giving up 175-170 yards a game rushing last year, the worst, 31st team ranked defense as far as against the run. And to see what they've been able to do this year, and then to be able to turn the football over, be getting some pressure. Today wasn't a great day as far as sacks go, but some of those pressures the pressure that led to Gordon's last interception, mm-hmm. you know, there was pressure in his face on that throw as well. So it's just been it's really been a fun kind of resurgence here as a city that kind of hangs its hat on defense and running the football. To be able to see that defense come together has been fun.
Yeah, Bears pick up their seventh win of the season, a team that had three wins all of last year, and there were a lot of offensive contributors as well. Justin Fields, 268 yards passing and a touchdown, had 45 yards on the ground, many of them of the highlight variety, including a touchdown. DJ Moore, 9 catches, 159 yards. He's having his best season as a pro, and Khalil Herbert had 124 yards on the ground. Makes you wonder, man, if the Bears had been able to close the deal. That's been an issue since this coaching staff and Justin Fields as the quarterback, since this regime has gone into place. Man, if they could just finish games. There were three games this season that just stick out, like the Denver game at Soldier Field, the ugly finish at Detroit, yep. and the ugly finish at Cleveland. You win those games, you have 10 wins right now, and you are right in the thick of a really weak NFC this year. I mean, Philadelphia lost to Arizona today.
Yep. Yeah, and that's the crux of it. There is you know, ifs and buts for candies and nuts. We all know those types of things. Yeah. And you can go back in revisionist history, and
I know
maybe the Bears shouldn't have won this one, and you know they should have lost this one, whatever. But the you are who your record says you are. But to that point, the NFC and this is going forward too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, up north, they thought they had their quarterback. They're not quite so sure now. You know, they've got other issues as it pertains to that team. The Minnesota Vikings are falling apart, and they were really held together by Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins is not coming back. So you start kind of looking at your division. Of course, the Lions have taken a huge step mm-hmm. forward, but they're gettable. The Bears obviously showed that. They should be 2-0 against them this year. They match up very well against the Detroit Lions. And then the conference as a whole. I mean, the 49ers, they were humbled in their building by a very good Baltimore team last week, but they got back to business again today, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with as they continue to put pieces around Brock Purdy on that rookie contract. But the NFC is not gettable as it pertains to the talent, and the Bears could be right in the thick of things.
And the day gets even better when you consider the Bears officially now have the number one overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, which means you can take a quarterback if you think you can do better than Justin Fields, or you can keep Justin Fields and then use that number one overall pick to trade for a treasure trove of more draft picks. Some of the big decisions that Ryan Poles will have to make this offseason. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. Out to the phones we go at 312-644-6767. Victor is calling from Atlanta, and Victor is on the Score.
Hey guys, thanks for having me this afternoon. And you know, I'll start my call by saying I am a fan and in favor of Justin Fields. And I've had the opportunity to listen to a number of the callers call in, and just a few points that I'd like to make there. I know early on we talked about the comparison to Lamar Jackson and how preposterous that seems to be. I don't know if it's actually that or not, and here's why. I think there's a healthy debate to say that Justin's arm is stronger than Lamar Jackson's is. But I would also say that Justin and Lamar run a 4.3 40. And so I think some of these intangibles are where we have to place value in. Justin is not a running quarterback, but he runs when he has to run. And so I think there's value there, because what it does is it extends the offensive play, right? It goes from a third and 15 to a first and 10 when he can get 17 yards. I think the other thing that I heard moments ago with the caller is Justin, the belief that Justin's propensity to break down against better teams. And I would challenge that as well. I would share with the listeners that Justin coming out of high school was a highly ranked quarterback. He signed with the University of Georgia, which is a member of the SEC, arguably the best college football conference in America today. He went to Ohio State, propelled them to the Big Ten championship. And as we were in the draft, preparing for the draft that year, there was a legitimate debate of whether or not Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields was the best quarterback coming out. Now, the only difference between a Trevor Lawrence and a Lamar Jackson right now is both of the, well, more Lamar than Trevor, they have stability from the coaching staff to the front office. Justin hasn't had that.
Hey, hold on. I can't let you say that, Victor, because that's not fair. Trevor Lawrence had more dysfunction in year one of his NFL career than nearly every quarterback that has come out lately outside of what Bryce Young is going through in Carolina. That's just not fair to say that. And there's no one right way to start playing as a young quarterback. Some get an opportunity to have it as smooth as possible, like Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Or Aaron Rodgers.
The guy who sat for a few years. In Green Bay. But you know what? Justin Herbert didn't have that luxury with the Chargers. Justin Fields didn't have that luxury here. And to a certain extent, Lamar Jackson didn't have that luxury early in Baltimore. But both Herbert and Jackson found a way to make it work, and Trevor Lawrence has clearly rebounded from that turbulent first year in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer as the head coach. This is now year three. No one, after 3 years in the NFL, cares what you did in high school, cares what you did in college. You're a pro now. It's what are you doing against your peers in the National Football League? That's how you're getting judged. And the NFL clearly felt that that was a normal amount of time to make a decision. That's why in the collective bargaining agreement between the players and the owners,
right,
there's, after 3 years, you have to make a decision on that fifth year option, right?
Right.
Because they felt that after 3 years, it's a fair amount of time to figure out what you have.
Right. And you also can't do anything with the contract until after two full years of the rookie deal. Brock Purdy's a perfect example. If the 49ers want to tear up that deal today, because they see value and want to get him at a cheap value and restart his contract and sign him to a long-term deal, they cannot do that. They have to sit. Brock Purdy is going to have to sit at $800,000 for this year and another, less than $1 million for next year before they can even talk about a contract extension.
He didn't even have enough money to buy his offensive lineman gifts. Poor guy.
Thank goodness for Christian McCaffrey to step up, right?
Out to the phones we go.
I think he has a roommate, too.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, he's saving money.
That's right.
Saving money until that big deal. Dale is in Lansing. Hi, Dale. You're on the Score. Dale going once, twice. Thank you for the effort. We tried. Back out to the phones we go. Ken is calling from New York. Hi, Ken. You're on the Score.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my calls, fellas. Great, great, great show. Hey, look, I got a bunch of bullets for my man Justin Fields. The first deal is we can't compare him to no Brady, Peyton, or Aikman. You know why? Because they didn't have to stand behind that kind of offensive line that Justin Fields had to play with last year, or that patched up offensive line that we have this year. Neither one of those guys would be looking at a gold jacket. The other thing is, Justin Fields, like the last caller said, has a hell of an arm. He got an arm that's, when he go downfield, it's money. When he come across the field, it's money. And when he rolling out and he get a chance to see the field, it's money. What we need to do is get that man an all-pro center and get him an all-pro guard.
and draft a tackle or draft a guard and get him an all-pro tackle. And draft that guy Marvin Harris. Get him some outside help. Justin Fields had no help last season as a receiver. None. All he had was Mooney. And Mooney, at best, is a number two. So,
but you Ken, Ken, before the season, and I'm sure you were one of these guys, there were a lot of people saying that Justin Fields was in line to win the MVP this year because they did add DJ Moore, who today, like Justin Fields, had a big game, 9 catches for 159 yards. I mean, there is a terrific defense complementing the Bears' offense. Troy Aikman, how many games did he win his first year in the league?
I think he won one or two, was it? One?
Right.
At one point, he was the most sacked quarterback of all time. That record was broken by Troy Aikman. Then it was broken by Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Now I believe it's Derek Carr most sacked.
David Carr.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
See, and again, the situations aren't ideal. Tom Brady didn't know that he was going to start playing in the NFL. It took an injury to Drew Bledsoe. He came in and never gave up the job. Again, not every situation is equal. When you get your opportunity, and again, it's not fair for everyone, but 3 years is generally enough time to be able to size up what you've got at the position.
Yeah, I think so. I think you are who you are, and what is it? Today was Justin's 10th win. Is that right?
He's 10 and 27.
10 and 27. And, you know, obviously, as a caller mentioned, Ken mentioned that the offensive line, has it always been good? No, it hasn't always been good. And I can tell you this, Ken, there's probably never going to be a great group in front of them, just because there's not enough bodies in on this planet that can play offensive line at that high of a level against some of the greatest athletes you're ever going to see on the defensive line. So it's always going to be a work in progress as it pertains to these guys. That's why these guys that can throw it under duress, these guys that can step into throws, that's why there's a special place for them to stand in there and hold in there and make these tough throws under duress. There's just a handful of guys on the planet that can do that.
Justin Fields looks special today. As the Bears beat the Falcons 37-17, Fields 20 of 32 passing, 268 yards and a touchdown throw. Also ran 11 times for 45 yards and a touchdown. Several of those moves running the ball today just had your jaw dropped. His ability to use power to basically just eschew defensive players off of him and then use that speed to make people miss and blow by people. It's, again, this... The kind of performance that Justin Fields gave you today is the reason that there is a debate here. Because you see what's special. The question is, can you see this consistently? Which we have not. But man, if you do, if you think you can harness it, well then you're not taking a quarterback number one.
Nope.
But the reason that there is a debate is because you haven't seen it on a consistent basis over the course of 3 years. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zach Zaidman, Jim Schwantz, your calls next on The Score.
5-4-3-2-1. Happy five-game home winning streak for the Chicago Bears. Finish the home slate 5-3. They get the win 37-17.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. And now back to Jim Swanson, Zach Zaidman on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
A lopsided victory for the Bears to close out 2023. One more game left in the regular season next week at Lambeau Field. But as you heard Chris Lewis of CBS Sports say, the Bears finish with 5 consecutive home wins. This one, a 37-17 blowout of the Atlanta Falcons. Bears now 7-9 on the season, and they won off the field today as well, because they have secured the number one overall pick officially in the NFL draft. So the Bears are now on the clock. Alongside Jim Schwantz, I'm Zach Zaidman, in for Mully, Olin, and Manley on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's go out to the phones. A lot of you have stuff to say. Tony on the south side, you're on The Score. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen? I really want to just emphasize on just how the Bears organization has really been bad over these years. And we can actually really want to thank Pace for doing what he did in that draft to get us Fields. Thank Loving for getting us that win that they did that last year to get us that number one pick. But Fields is our quarterback. I don't care what anybody says, but if you see what happens when you add pieces that he can that benefits him, DJ, Montez on the other side of the ball, it makes the team better. It makes him better. So I think that, like you're saying, using this number one pick that we got coming up, yeah, it would not hurt to have a good number two wide receiver out there to help with DJ Moore, take some of that pressure off, and then you got Kmet coming out from the tight end, and then hopefully they can find a number three to do the slot. Then you can go across there, and then this draft, according to what I've been seeing, it's a lot of edge rushers out there. Could we use another, like they said, a good center, a well-known center? Yeah, we could use all of that. But if you add the pieces, you give Justin the pieces that he needs to be successful, you can see what he can do with those pieces, and he can come out and be a winner like he has right now. And all I see is the Bears getting better. But like I say, Poles just has to understand. I think Poles got it. Poles got it. We got to get this guy more pieces that can help him be the quarterback that we need for our team to get us to the Super Bowl. Thank you, guys.
And that becomes the argument, right? I mean, that's going to be it. That's going to be talked about. That's going to be mulled over. I think when you guys get an opportunity to talk to Ryan Poles at the end of the season, when they have their, you know, kind of end of the year meeting, that'll be the number one question. It'll be number two question. It might be the number three question. It might be the fourth question that he gets over and over, packaged different ways. Are you going to be able to tell us definitively, is Justin the QB1 for this organization going forward? And if he is, well, how does that work? Are you going to re-up with a long-term deal? Are you going to go ahead and pick up the fifth-year option and then maybe tag him a year and get him for 3 years or 4 years? How is that going to work out? And whether or not – and that's all going to be asked and answered from now, as the Bears are, as you've mentioned, Zach, on the clock – all the way through draft day.
And I don't think you're going to get a true answer at the end of the season from Ryan Poles, because I don't think to this point he can say for certain. I think he has an idea.
Yeah.
You know, he may have an idea that there's a quarterback in this draft that he might like more than the quarterback he's got on the field
right. In
Justin Fields. But you also have to make sure that all the other stuff outside of what you see on the field checks out. Is the guy as tough as Justin Fields?
Right.
It does the guy, and both, when I say tough, I mean tough on the field, tough mentally off the field to handle the kind of criticism, the stuff that we're talking about right now.
Well, think about back during the Ryan, I hate to think about the Ryan Pace days, but think about when Ryan Pace drafted Kevin White, and Kevin White coming from West Virginia, and then he gets to the Bears and he find out he only played on one side of the field and only ran three different routes. That's it. So he gets to the NFL. Now you're trying to groom a receiver to not only flip sides, but to learn the route tree in the NFL and be able to run different types of routes. And he never could adapt to that. So to your point, maybe it is, let's say it's a kid from USC, and maybe you get him in a room, you start asking him questions, and he can't answer them the way you want them to be answered. Football concept questions. Maybe he becomes a guy that you pass on. You saw last year, they passed on Jalen Carter because they didn't like the things that he had going off the field. So a lot's going to happen between now and, of course, draft day.
And we often hear Caleb Williams being the guy that everyone's talking about, number one overall. Well, there might be another quarterback that we're not talking about right now that blows them away, whether it's Drake May, whether it's Jaden Daniels, the Heisman winner from LSU, LaGrange Parks, J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. We just don't know.
Yep.
The bowl game tomorrow may influence who's on that list or who gets taken off that. You just don't know. And that's why you got to give it a little bit of time. But I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you're so locked in on Justin Fields that you refuse to allow yourself to think that maybe a guy in this draft could be better. The goal is to sustain success.
Right
now, the Bears are having difficulty just finishing with a winning season.
Right. And that's it. I mean, you want to be a team that is in the mix, that's in the conversation each and every year. Because the more opportunities you have going to the dance, the more opportunities you have to go deep into it and then catch lightning in a bottle. A lot of times it's the healthiest, hottest team in the playoffs. It's not the best team that plays. You know, you look at the Baltimore Ravens. The last time they had the number one seed, they got housed by the Titans by Tennessee at their place. So it doesn't mean you're going to roll all the way to the Super Bowl, but you give yourself an opportunity to sustain success and continue to build around the right pieces. And if Justin's the right piece, as you mentioned earlier, this is an easy draft then. Then you look for the most quarterback-starved team. They jump up. You get a haul like you did from Carolina. Maybe not as good as what you got from Carolina, but something very close. And to the callers that have been in the Justin camp, you build around them and you get them a whole bunch of talent.
312-644-6767. How's it supposed to look? Here's how it's supposed to look when it's right. You have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson every single season. When he's healthy, the Ravens are in the mix. You have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes every single season. When he's healthy, you're in the mix, regardless of who's around him. You know what it looks like? Joe Burrow. Every time he's healthy, regardless of who's around him, they're in the mix. That's what you want out of the quarterback position. That's how you sustain success. Out to the phones we go. Mike in McHenry, you are on the Score with Zach Zaidman and Jim Schwantz.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mike.
Yeah, just go on your idea. I do believe Justin Fields can be the quarterback of the future. Once again, everybody stole my thunder. We do need a right tackle, or I'm sorry, a left tackle and a center. And I do believe if we actually go and get Marvin Harrison, you put Harrison and Mooney as a 2-3 and DJ Moore as a 1 and give us a couple more interior linemen, I think that would improve Justin Fields' stake in the entire organization.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about. If there's, you know, Marvin Harrison is a bigger, faster, stronger version of his dad who's owned the Hall of Fame. That's a pretty good resume, and he hasn't even stepped foot on an NFL football field yet. So yeah, there we talk about generational talents at the quarterback position. This might be one at the wide receiver position, and anybody's going to want to take a shot at him. There's no doubt about that. You look at what teams have done each and every year. They continue to add receivers. You look at what Minnesota did. They have Justin Jefferson, one of the top receivers. Last year they go out, and early in the draft they get Jordan Addison from USC, another young receiver to add, because it's taking that 1-2 punch to be able to make defenses defend the whole field rather than just one side.
You know, I can't help but think, speaking of Minnesota, back in the day, this is when you were playing, the Vikings had arguably the two best receivers in football at one time together, right? Their starting receiving tandem in Randy Moss on one side, Chris Carter on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they had quarterbacks who were dual threat guys, right? Whether it was Randall Cunningham and then later on Dante Culpepper. They never won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know, when Tom Brady had Randy Moss, he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Not.
You know, to me, it comes back to the quarterback. It's always about the quarterback. Jerry Angelo used to say it. Ryan Pace said it. Ryan Poles has said it.
Yep.
It's always about the quarterback. So you better be sure. When it comes time, because, you know, as each year goes by, you come 1 year closer to having to pay your guy.
Plus, as I mentioned in the pregame, everything is, and it was, I think it was, it might have been Brad Maynard who said it. Every year we don't win it, Brian Urlacher's 1 year older. Olin Kreutz is 1 year older. Mike Brown is 1 year older. And you don't know. There's nobody that taps you on the shoulder. Father Time doesn't warn you. When the time
like
is
that.
Up, it's
yep.
up, and it's fast.
Going to be a fun offseason, and we are just getting
this
started.
This pre- and post-game was fast.
It was. By the way, I want to thank Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit aureliospizza.com to order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza, it's the sauce. Jim, this was a lot of fun.
Awesome. I appreciate you having me. That was a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
It was nice to reminisce. Yeah. Nice to talk some football. I'm Zach Zaidman. Next week, the guys are back. Molly will be here. Olin will be here. Manley will be here. I want to thank our producer today, Leo Stadahar, for helping us blast through the speakers of your radio as well as all of your smart devices. Bears win on and off the field. They beat the Falcons 34-17. And they secure the number one overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. And we're not done talking Bears. Anthony Heron is next, and he's going to take it to the next level right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Happy New Year, everyone.
Go Bears!
Phone number, Zach Zaidman, Jim Schwantz. Your call's next on The Score.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy five-game home winning streak for the Chicago Bears. Finish the home slate 5-3. They get the win 37-17.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. And now back to Jim Swanson, Zach Zaidman on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
A lopsided victory for the Bears to close out 2023. One more game left in the regular season next week at Lambeau Field. But as you heard Chris Lewis of CBS Sports say, the Bears finish with five consecutive home wins. This one, a 37-17 blowout of the Atlanta Falcons. Bears now 7-9 on the season. And they won off the field today as well, because they have secured the number one overall pick officially in the NFL draft. So the Bears are now on the clock. Alongside Jim Schwantz, I'm Zach Zaidman, in for Mully, Olin, and Manley on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's go out to the phones. A lot of you have stuff to say. Tony on the south side, you're on the score. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen? I really want to just emphasize on just how the Bears organization has really been bad over these years. And we can actually really want to thank Pace for doing what he did in that draft to get us Fields. Thank Loving for getting us that win that they did that last year to get us that number one pick. But Fields is our quarterback. I don't care what anybody says, but if you see what happens when you add pieces that he can that benefits him, DJ, Montez on the other side of the ball, it makes the team better. It makes him better. So I think that, like you're saying, using this number one pick that we got coming up, yeah, it would not hurt to have a good number two wide receiver out there to help with DJ Moore, take some of their pressure off, and then you got Komet coming out from the tight end, and then hopefully they can find a number three to do the slot. Then you can go across there, and then this draft, according to what I've been seeing, it's a lot of edge rushers out there. Could we use another, like they said, a good center, a well-known center? Yeah, we could use all of that. But if you add the pieces, you give Justin the pieces that he needs to be successful, you can see what he can do with those pieces, and he can come out and be a winner like he has right now. And all I see is the Bears getting better. But like I say, Poles just has to understand. I think Poles got it. Poles got it. We got to get this guy more pieces that can help him be the quarterback that we need for our team to get us to the Super Bowl. Thank you, guys.
And that becomes the argument, right? I mean, that's going to be it. That's going to be talked about. That's going to be mulled over. I think when you guys get an opportunity to talk to Ryan Poles at the end of the season, when they have their, you know, kind of end of the year meeting, that'll be the number one question. It'll be number two question. It might be the number three question. It might be the fourth question that he gets over and over, packaged different ways. Are you going to be able to tell us definitively, is Justin the QB1 for this organization going forward? And if he is, well, how does that work? Are you going to re-up with a long-term deal? Are you going to go ahead and pick up the fifth-year option and then maybe tag him a year and get him for 3 years or 4 years? How is that going to work out? And whether or not – and that's all going to be asked and answered from now, as the Bears are, as you've mentioned, Zach, on the clock – all the way through draft day.
And I don't think you're going to get a true answer. There's no way. At the end of the season from Ryan Poles, because I don't think to this point he can say for certain. I think he has an idea.
Yeah.
You know, he may have an idea that there's a quarterback in this draft that he might like more than the quarterback he's got on the field
right.
in Justin Fields. But you also have to make sure that all the other stuff outside of what you see on the field checks out. Is the guy as tough as Justin Fields?
Right.
Does the guy, and both, when I say tough, I mean tough on the field, tough mentally off the field to handle the kind of criticism, the stuff that we're talking about right now.
Well, think about back during the Ryan, I hate to think about the Ryan Pace days, but think about when Ryan Pace drafted Kevin White. And Kevin White, coming from West Virginia, and then he gets to the Bears and you find out he only played on one side of the field and only ran three different routes. That's it. So he gets to the NFL. Now you're trying to groom a receiver to not only flip sides, but to learn the route tree in the NFL and be able to run different types of routes. And he never could adapt to that. So to your point, maybe it is, let's say it's a kid from USC. And maybe you get him in a room, you start asking him questions, and he can't answer them the way you want them to be answered. Football concept questions. Maybe he becomes a guy that you pass on. You saw last year, they passed on Jalen Carter because they didn't like the things that he had going off the field. So a lot's going to happen between now and, of course, drafting.
And we often hear Caleb Williams being the guy that everyone's talking about, number one overall. Well, there might be another quarterback that we're not talking about right now that blows them away, whether it's Drake May, whether it's Jaden Daniels, the Heisman winner from LSU, LaGrange Parks, J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. We just don't know.
Yep.
The bowl game tomorrow may influence who's on that list or who gets taken off that. You just don't know. And that's why you got to give it a little bit of time. But I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you're so locked in on Justin Fields that you refuse to allow yourself to think that maybe a guy in this draft could be better. The goal is to sustain success.
Right,
right now the Bears are having difficulty just finishing with a winning season.
Right. And that's it. I mean, you want to be a team that is in the mix, that's in the conversation each and every year. Because the more opportunities you have going to the dance, the more opportunities you have to go deep into it and then catch lightning in a bottle. It a lot of times it's the healthiest, hottest team in the playoffs. It's not the best team that plays. You know, you look at the Baltimore Ravens. The last time they had the number one seed, they got housed by the Titans by Tennessee at their place. So it doesn't mean you're going to roll all the way to the Super Bowl, but you give yourself an opportunity to sustain success and continue to build around the right pieces. And if Justin's the right piece, as you mentioned earlier, this is an easy draft then. Then you look for the most quarterback-starved team. They jump up. You get a haul like you did from Carolina. Maybe not as good as what you got from Carolina, but something very close. And to the callers that have been in the Justin camp, you build around them and you get them a whole bunch of talent.
312-644-6767. How's it supposed to look? Here's how it's supposed to look when it's right. You have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson every single season. When he's healthy, the Ravens are in the mix. You have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes every single season. When he's healthy, you're in the mix, regardless of who's around him. You know what it looks like? Joe Burrow. Every time he's healthy, regardless of who's around him, they're in the mix. That's what you want out of the quarterback position. That's how you sustain success. Out to the phones we go. Mike in McHenry, you are on the score with Zach Zaidman and Jim Schwantz.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mike.
Yeah, just go on your idea. I do believe Justin Fields can be the quarterback of the future. Once again, everybody stole my thunder. We do need a right tackle, or I'm sorry, a left tackle and a center. And I do believe if we actually go and get Marvin Harrison, you put Harrison and Mooney as a 2-3 and DJ Moore as a 1 and give us a couple more interior linemen, I think that would improve Justin Fields' stake in the entire organization.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about. If there's, you know, Marvin Harrison is a bigger, faster, stronger version of his dad who's owned the Hall of Fame. That's a pretty good resume, and he hasn't even stepped foot on an NFL football field yet. So yeah, there we talk about generational talents at the quarterback position. This might be one at the wide receiver position, and anybody's going to want to take a shot at him. There's no doubt about that. You look at what teams have done each and every year. They continue to add receivers. You look at what Minnesota did. They have Justin Jefferson, one of the top receivers. Last year, they go out, and early in the draft, they get Jordan Addison from USC, another young receiver to add, because it's taking that 1-2 punch to be able to make defenses defend the whole field rather than just one side.
You know, I can't help but think, speaking of Minnesota, back in the day, this is when you were playing, the Vikings had arguably the two best receivers in football at one time, together, right? Their starting receiving tandem in Randy Moss on one side, Chris Carter on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they had quarterbacks who were dual threat guys, right? Whether it was Randall Cunningham and then later on Dante Culpepper, they never won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know, when Tom Brady had Randy Moss, he didn't win a Super Bowl. You know, to me, it comes back to the quarterback. It's always about the quarterback. Jerry Angelo used to say it. Ryan Pace said it. Ryan Poles has said it.
Yep.
It's always about the quarterback. So you better be sure when it comes time, because, you know, as each year goes by, you come 1 year closer to having to pay your guy.
Plus, as I mentioned in the pregame, everything is, and it was, I think it was, it might have been Brad Maynard who said it. Every year we don't win it, Brian Urlacher is 1 year older. Olin Kreutz is 1 year older. Mike Brown is 1 year older. And you don't know. There's nobody that taps you on the shoulder. Father Time doesn't warn you. When the time
like
is
that.
Up, it's up. And it's fast.
It's going to be a fun offseason. And we are just getting started.
This pre- and postgame was fast.
It was. By the way, I want to thank Aurelio's Pizza for delivering some great food for today's game. Download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards. Visit aureliospizza.com to order from the location nearest you. Aurelio's Pizza. It's the sauce. Jim, this was a lot of fun.
Awesome. I appreciate you having me. That was a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
It was nice to reminisce. Yep. Nice to talk some football. I'm Zach Zaidman. Next week, the guys are back. Molly will be here. Olin will be here. Manily will be here. I want to thank our producer today, Leo Stadahar, for helping us blast through the speakers of your radio as well as all of your smart devices. Bears win on and off the field. They beat the Falcons 34-17. And they secure the number one overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. And we're not done talking Bears. Anthony Heron is next, and he's going to take it to the next level right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Happy New Year, everyone.
Go Bears!